By the way, if you're wondering why is any of this important, it's extremely important to things like advertisers, for example, or anyone who's looking to be like, should we invest in this? Because at the end of the day, this seems to be a very strong reach. The numbers speak for themselves. Look, some people are successfully streaming on Rumble right now to 70,000, 110,000, fucking almost 150,000 live viewers. That's incredible. If in Jose's test, he's revealed that that view count is being shown to show one viewer streams, and that resulted in a view count of 224 for a single person watching a 30-minute stream that had zero content. It was just a loop of like a you know, 12-second video over and over and over and over. That's not honest. Russell Brand's numbers on Rumble, which is now going to be his headquarters. He's now going to be almost a Rumble exclusive. Actually, we can still talk about this for 2 seconds while we're on it. So I haven't watched this, but he streamed today for the first time. He did a full live Russell Brand show. I'm just going to watch a little bit of that. I'm very curious how his first show back.
Hello there, you Awakening Wonders. Thanks for joining me on Stay Free with Russell Brand on Rumble. If you're watching this on YouTube or anywhere else, eventually you're going to have to click the link in the description and join us over in Rumble. And if you can become a supporter, it's the only way that you can back our independent voice at a time where it's obviously being challenged. We've got a great show for you today. In our item, here's the news. No, here's the effing news. We are going to be talking about the state and the legacy media's war on free speech, and in particular, how that has affected me this week. We've also got Jimmy Dore coming up on the show, and you know what Jimmy Dore will be advocating for: revolution, mass disobedience, new alliances between ordinary people, putting aside the barriers and boundaries of left and right, that we can come together to oppose increasingly authoritarian, centralized power. We're going to continue to do on this channel what we've all...
By the way, Russell Brand, Jimmy Dore, every single one of the faux leftists who does this kind of angle, all of them have zero, zero fucking material analysis of any structures that they want to criticize. It's like the enemy is big pharma and big tech. And you're like, why? Why are they the enemy? Why specifically? Can you get into the details? Why is it that those like specific industries are the bad guys? But then there's so many other aspects of capitalism that none of you ever really want to do any kind of analysis of. It's like, well, big tech, these companies, Alphabet, for example, they control so much of what we consume now on the internet. That's true. They are monopolies. And then they do have almost complete and utter control over how much we consume various forms of media online. I agree with you. That's a bad thing. But what beyond that? Because if the enemy is always just going to be random company A or random company B, but nothing else, right? It's like the government is bad. Why is the government bad? Because they are inefficient and take your money and give it to welfare queens. What? And it's like, well, big tech is bad. Why? Because they censored the guy I like. What? Big pharma is bad. Why? Well, because they released the goo vaccine, the goos people. What? It's like these aren't revolutionary ideas. This isn't revolutionary thought. This is keeping people centrally like hating things they already don't like. We all know how much right-wingers hate liberal media. We know that because they feel that there's an undue censorship of their ideas. But that happens to be that there's a lot of right-wing and far-right ideas that, yes, get censored because it's just common decency. A TOS usually doesn't want to abide by Nazis, far-right ideology, Holocaust denial, anti-Semitism, racism, sex, like that kind of stuff. Yes, it's usually within their TOS. The right has also really chosen going after LGBTQ plus people and specifically trans people as one of their biggest causes. That does violate a lot of TOS. So in that turn, yes, you will see a lot of those people getting censored. But if we just look at raw data, when you look at the raw numbers between left-wing ideas, right-wing ideas, and the censorship that occurs, statistically, even when it comes to platforms like Twitter, it seems like in a lot of ways, the right is actually not being censored in the way they tell you. And in some ways, say for Facebook, they are being amplified way more than any other voice. The right wing dominates. All of the right-wing industries dominate on Facebook and have for a very long time. They've enjoyed the freedom of speech to tell all their heinous fucking ideas. They've enjoyed that, and they've enjoyed that while simultaneously telling you that they're being censored, right? At the same time, the whole thing is a massive distraction.
Always done. Tell you the truth as best we can. Listen to you as best we can. So the first story we're going to talk about is Stoltenberg acknowledging that Putin invaded Ukraine due to NATO infringement. A significant story because, of course, what we've mostly been schooled in is that Russia are a criminal nation led by a lunatic in Putin that unprovoked attacked Ukraine.
So zero acknowledgement of any of it and just going right in.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
To, hey, by the way, I happen to be here to tell you about how I've got some very dangerous ideas. I'm definitely, subverting the mainstream media. And I got to tell you about a whole bunch of things that are going on that no one else will tell you. And that's why they're coming after me. That's it. That's why Burger King came after me. You know, if you haven't heard, the right wing hates Burger King. They're canceling Burger King right now because apparently Burger King is no longer going to be sponsoring Russell Brand's show. And let them fight. Honestly, Burger King fucking sucks, both in terms of like them as a company and how they operate. And I think they're part of Yum Foods. I could be wrong, but they're a massive corporate conglomerate, whatever it is. But also in addition to that, it just sucks. In the tier, like if we were to rank fast foods, I don't know. The Flame Grill is nice in alternative, but just generally, it's just fucking gnarly food. There's so much better fast food. You know, if you want a better burger, you take your pick. Shake Shack, In-N-Out, you name it, right? Five Guys. A lot of other better fast foods you could choose over Burger King. But either way, guess what? Corporations, their allegiances, as you might have already realized, if you happen to have an analysis of this from a material perspective, it's corporate profit. They have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders to produce profit and generate more profit and have shareholders be happy time and time again to receive more and more money. Makes sense, right? So Burger King, obviously, when Russell Brand has suddenly been tarnished with grooming a 16-year-old and rape allegations, yeah, maybe they don't want to directly associate their brand with that. Boom, it gets pulled out. That's not an indication of a conspiracy or some kind of larger picture where did Burger King get the tap? Did Brandon come by and it's like, hey, I love your burgers, but you gotta silence this Russell Brand guy, you know? Like, no, you are no longer considered to be as fucking brand safe as you were before.
As we always say, the Ukrainian people should be utmost in our thoughts.
They need to stop sponsoring Maupin as well. That's true.
And the humanitarian imperatives that the world claims are what's driving this war ought be what's driving a move towards peace. But as you know,
my cousin is blackpilled by Rumble, Russell Brand redacted. And I'm trying to wrap my brain around a deep lie, blah, blah, blah. See, the problem is right now there is a completely justified hatred of the mainstream media and distrust of the mainstream media because, yes, surprise, surprise. I mean, this is not new information, but the mainstream media is, of course, corporate media. They're corporations that have shareholders like every single one of these places, as does Alphabet. You know, as does Rumble, by the way. Rumble is publicly traded. It's a publicly traded company. There's no question that they obviously will eventually want to produce profit. As of right now, Rumble is immensely unprofitable. I believe their expenses versus their ad revenue take right now, they're losing something between 26 million plus a year, maybe more. So as of right now, Rumble is not a profitable company. It is incredibly difficult for a lot of these tech companies to be profitable, especially if they are free streaming services or free video hosting because of the costs. The costs of obviously hosting servers, web servers, all that. By the way, it's hosted by Amazon. You're still fucking giving Bezos his dollar. All of that is so incredibly expensive. But Rumble does have a commitment to wanting to continue to operate at a massive financial loss because in their end, they are seeing a benefit to having an alternative internet platform that can provide right-wing thought and provide right-wing thought without worry of right-wing thought being censored by TOS. Mainly, of course, things that go after the LGBTQ plus community are going to be completely fine on Rumble. The problem with Rumble and that philosophy, as you found, is every time this happens, they fill up with Nazis and they fill up with Holocaust deniers and they fill up with the most horrifying people who just want to have a show anywhere to talk about fucking Nazi shit. And that's one of the reasons why, yes, YouTube may be a massive fucking tech conglomerate, but they have done so many purges. They've had to purge numerous times. Like, you know, when YouTube all of a sudden is like, so you spoke, we listened, we have removed 27,000 different accounts that are directly associated with neo-Nazism. And you're like, cool. I mean, I'm glad it took someone saying there's a lot of Nazis on the platform for you to do something, but that doesn't change the fact that in large part, this is what happens when you have unfettered proliferation of information.
The military-industrial complex are significantly invested in what some people, Jimmy Dore notably, regard as a money laundering operation. Let's have a look at Stoltenberg acknowledging the simple truth that Putin was provoked.
And so, one last caveat on that. That is a huge problem for, I can get why someone would like, you know, your brother getting blackpilled on Rumble. A lot of what these people talk about, Jimmy Dore, Russell Brand, not so much Steven Crowder, but say a Joe Rogan, for example, we're talking about like, you know, centrist normie kind of entry points. They will talk about things that are sometimes based in reality. There are things that are based in reality, the military industrial complex and how they operate globally, especially in furthering U.S. hegemonic power. That's true. That's all true. So you can start a show by saying that and acknowledging it or pointing out examples of that happening and showing, hey, by the way, did you know how much money the military industrial complex is profiting from the war in Ukraine? That's all true. You can point towards that. But that doesn't also mean in the same vein, did you also know that Putin actually only invaded Ukraine because of the encroachment of NATO? And because of that, it was actually the United States that forced his hand because they wanted to provoke a war. That part is not true. It's not based in reality. But when you frame it that way, you combine things that happen to be true and speculation, suddenly it becomes what they present as fact. And because you're getting it from this alternative source, you suddenly feel smarter. Because it's like, hey, no, I didn't learn this from the lamestream media. I didn't get this from you fucking CNN junkies, okay? I learned this on my own grounds. I did my research. I spent time on the internet. I'm the one who found out that the earth is flat. And all you motherfuckers are still drinking the Kool-Aid, thinking that we live in a sphere or some bullshit like that. And you can't see the writing on the wall, okay? The writing on the wall, which is flat. Then, and yeah. Oh, and by the way, case in point, did you... I told you, by the way, like... He just reads Gray Zone articles. He just uses Gray Zone articles as a backup, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, I'm a truth teller. Look how they came for me. Look at this. Look, censoring me, they are. And it's like, but why isn't the Gray Zone being accused by multiple women of rape? Why wouldn't they go to the source? Why would they just falsely accuse Max Blumenthal of all these lifelong accusations out of nowhere? Even though the Times and I think Channel 4 are owned by Rupert fucking Murdoch. I hate to be the one to explode this conspiracy theory. Yeah, here's something that they're not going to tell you in the deep state, apparently, that Rupert Murdoch, in fact, the right-wing billionaire, he's actually the person who owns the publication. So this one goes deeper than we ever thought before, people. This one is actually a combination of both right-wing government infiltration as well as left-wing progressive people trying to silence us because we're telling the truth about the vaccines and all that kind of shit, you know? It's like, motherfuckers... Where does this conspiracy theory go to die? You got to understand this. Rupert Murdoch being a renowned right-wing figure who has been a fucking detriment to just the way that we absorb and ingest media for fucking decades now. How is he part of this? Did he take it upon himself? It's like, oh, you know, Rupert, like fucking Russell came too close? Too close to Rupert's fucking truth?
Obviously, I now in particular have... a new experience on the way that the media and the state can cooperate and corroborate one another's narratives and stories. I'm beginning to sense that if you publicly question important stories that are agenda-led, like, for example, the war in Ukraine or the response to the COVID pandemic, that it appears that there is some significant heft behind controlling those narrative spaces and preventing them from being overtly challenged. Can you tell me what your personal experience is around censorship and whether or not you ever personally feel there is an attempt to close down independent media voices?
Well, 100%.
If the state is going after Russell Brand, why won't they just fucking arrest him? 12D chess. If they did that, everyone would know the play. But by falsely planting multiple women throughout his career and his lifetime, and including a 16-year-old, because they predicted that he would decades later start a YouTube channel that would eventually call truth to power. They knew that by doing that, they would set the stage eventually for the ability to silence him. That's how this works.
100%. I've experienced it. I experience it every day with the YouTube demonetizing videos for no reason.
That's not conspiracy, fucking jagweeds. I get censored by YouTube all the time by that definition. Did you know how many fucking thousands of YouTube videos I have demonetized? That's not because of a government's conspiracy. It's because I said the word lesbian. It's because they have the really draconian laws against fucking LGBTQ plus topics. And I don't sit there being like, well, this is clearly evidence of the deep state trying to silence me and my truth. And obviously they came for me. They'll come for any of us. It's only a matter of time. You see it every day in the way that I'm censored on YouTube by not having monetization. These are companies. This is how this fucking works. They want to have the most potentially brand safe trajectory for advertisers to advertise on their platforms. The seedier the platform gets, the seedier the ads get. Do you want to direct evidence of that? Look at fucking X. If you look at X and the way it operates now, what are the ads that play on X? If I scroll through, it's all for these fucking weird ass mobile games that have no business existing in the first place. A lot of them are fucking just problematic on their own. Or cryptocurrency. It's like, hey, cryptocurrency. Have you invested in Shibu Inu? Have you downloaded this new mobile game that's like really about sexual assault for some reason? Like all that shit. Those are the ads that play on these platforms because they have nowhere else to advertise because, yeah, maybe they're not considered brand safe enough for the mainstream. So they get on those platforms. Otherwise, for the Burger Kings of the world, yeah, Burger King doesn't want to have to sit back and be like, so we just want to ask why you've been funding Russell Brand, especially after all these accusations of pedophilia, grooming, rape have come out. Is there a reason for that? Do you feel that he's in fact innocent? Are you making a political statement? No, they don't want to deal with any of that. They don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck about any of us. That's the thing. Like, oh, sure, deep truths here. Corporations don't give two fucks about us. Yeah, of course they don't. They care about the brand going forward.
The first time it happened, they took down, I think, three or maybe five of my videos in 2021 because I was doing videos that talked about the efficacy of the vaccine. And I stated that it didn't stop transmission or contraction of the virus, which,
yeah, hey, if you're spreading dangerous medical misinformation and you've got a publishing house and the publishing house is like, ooh, hey, you have millions of followers. And if you tell your millions of followers medical misinformation that could potentially kill them, are we going to have repercussions on that? You see, we do love you, Jimmy. We have a personal relationship with you. We're besties, for sure. But at the end of the day, bottom line shit, you know? So yeah, maybe we are going to demonetize a video. Like, why do people take demonetization as this punishment that is just like beyond reproach? I can show you the list of videos I have every day that are demonetized. It's just like, and again, it's for shit like saying lesbian. It's like, unfortunately, we found that you were using language which some people could find controversial. Lesbian. Oh, this is the deep state at it again.
We all know now. And at that time, I had kind of pieced it together myself. And I had on Dr. Robert Malone, who explained how that worked to me. And then I got censored by YouTube for that. And when I asked, what was this?
Neither of us are this important, by the way. These are mostly algorithmic-based censorships. It's not even a human being at the other end doing this, choosing to do this, being like, whoa, another serfs video. Look at that. Yeah, fuck this guy. Or even Jimmy Dore. It's like, oh, Jimmy Dore, once again, spreading lies about the vaccine. Time to take him down. It's an algorithm. It's a series of ones and zeros.
Censorship for, and why did you take down these five videos? And they said it was because I gave misinformation saying the vaccine didn't stop transmission. And when I said, I showed them, well, the FDA says they don't know if it stops transmission, that they hope it does. And so their response to that was, oh, no, we made a mistake. It's because you said it doesn't stop contraction of this. So they just changed the whole thing. They gave me a strike on YouTube. You know how important that
CIA.
Is. But they gave me a warning, which is the first step to getting
CIA.
You a strike.
Definitely
CIA. So I've had that happen. And every day now, the demonetization of videos have been ramped up. The most recent ridiculous one was I did a video about
that. The ability for even relatively small independent media organizations like ours to inquire appears to be met with such hostility. And it also appears that regardless of the subject, whether or not it's war or pandemic response, the same PSYOP units, this I'm speaking in particular in the UK, the same PSYOP unit moved effortlessly from responding to ISIS to responding to what it called COVID disinformation, to responding to dissent around the war. It's difficult to not start to appreciate that the population, the public, the citizenry are actually the enemies of the state and their corporate allies. This is becoming clearer and clearer. And it seems to me extraordinary that we've arrived at this point where free speech and ordinary protocols.
There is no free speech under a corporate structure. If a corporation is dictating what our speech is, we do not have free speech. Doesn't matter what company it is. If they are the arbiters of what can or cannot be said, which they are, I have been a victim of it. I too have had channels taken down. My Instagram's still gone forever. I've had tons of videos taken down. I've had tons of videos demonetized. That's not because the CIA thinks I'm getting too close, you know? I can say all day on this show, by the way, the military-industrial complex of the United States is furthering the hegemonic power of their world domination. It is a fucking a blight. It is destroying the planet. It is furthering so much of our chaos, all of that. There's no knock on the door. There's no fucking, oh, well, yeah, he did it. Someone fucking did it. Someone spoke truth to power.
Of justice are being bypassed. How have we gotten here, Jimmy? And what dangers does it pose in the coming years?
Well, we've gotten here because they have to control the narrative. Before, it was easier for them to control the narrative because they held all the strings to the media. So now that we have media, social media, and things like YouTube, Rumble, that we can actually get our message out to question authority, that's what's dangerous for them. And so they have to control the narrative. They have to censor things that are detrimental to the establishment, because if they can't do that, then they have to start disappearing people. And that's a little harder and it's a little more risky. So right now they can discredit you. Let's just be honest, right? So when Tucker Carlson got fired from Fox News, it wasn't because he was lying. Those people lie on Fox News all the time. They lie on corporate media all the time. They're currently lying to you about COVID, and they're currently lying to you at the top of their lungs about the Ukraine war. Nobody gets fired for that. You get fired for telling the truth. And that's the thing that scares them the most. You don't.
But it's weird in that example, because like Tucker Carlson, his actual, like, you know, let's just say, through line on those two things was the same for years. For years, he was broadcasting the same message over and over and over, and then ran. So was that they just had a limit. He's told the truth too many times. Same thing for Russell Brand, right? Russell Brand, if you look at the follow-up to the actual like articles coming out, he was reporting on telling the truth of Obama being gay. That was the last major story that Russell Brand broke, was that, hey, is Obama secretly gay? This guy came out to talk about how he had sucked Obama's dick. Is this true? We don't know, but we're just here to report what someone else is saying. You decide. That's what we do here. We put things out there and you choose what you want to believe. That's the whole gimmick. That's the whole show. Was that the one that went too far? Was there a call from on high? Was Obama like, hey, you know, someone's getting too close. Someone knows, you know, like, again.
You get in trouble for lying. You get promoted for lying. Look at Rachel Maddow. She did the most Russiagate segments of anybody on television. She told people that Russia was going to turn off their heat in the winter. She told them everything, every lie that could possibly be told about Russia and Russiagate and Donald Trump. And she got rewarded with a $35 million contract, which is $100,000.
There's a counter somewhere, Langley, too many truths and you get canceled. I wonder what the magic number is. I wonder how many truths you can get through before people are eventually like, wow. Anyways, as you can tell, Russell Brand, 100% back, doing just fucking fine. 1.61 million followers on Rumble. As of this recording, when I was watching it live this morning to start, it had 76,000 apparent live viewers on Rumble. And I was like, 76,000? Holy shit, that is one hell of a reach on this alternative media. If true, pretty big. So that's why I did want to talk a little bit about, is it true?
23 has not been a good year for Steven Crowder. Since signing a deal with Rumble back in March of 2023, his Rumble views had fallen considerably, dropping from averaging over 2 million views per video to less than 1 million. Crowder's reputation has taken a beating online. In the beginning of the year, there was a failed contract negotiation with the Daily Wire that went public, and it was revealed that he had made secret recordings of his conversation with Daily Wire CEO Jeremy Boring. Crowder was refusing a contract worth $50 million to produce his show for 4 years.
This is the minimum number that we thought would get the conversation started with Steven. $50 million for the initial term.
All of that happened before the Rumble deal, though, so it's less likely that it had an impact on his viewership than what came next. In the midst of that whole contract controversy, it was revealed that Steven Crowder was going through a messy divorce, and had been since 2021. And soon after, a video of him being verbally abusive to his wife surfaced online.
Your abuse is sick. Your abuse
Watch it.
Is sick.
Watch it. Watch it.
In addition to that footage, many former staffers at Crowder's show went public with stories of behind-the-scenes tirades coming from Crowder and a tendency he had to expose his genitals to his co-workers. Even taking all those controversies
and put them on some
co-workers. Account, though, It seems a bit strange that Crowder's views would drop so dramatically. I thought it might help to take a wider look at his numbers to get a better sense of his channel's health. So that's what I did. I looked at the views for Crowder's channels on YouTube and Rumble and counted them up over the last year. In this graph here, you can see Crowder's YouTube views are in red, while his Rumble views are in green. The big change you'll notice is that Crowder goes from getting most of his views from YouTube to Rumble as soon as he signs a deal with them. It's reasonable to assume most of his audience migrated over to that platform as he was constantly pushing Rumble in his videos and on social media. Still, that jump is really big. Crowder hadn't cracked 2 million views in a while on YouTube, and suddenly he's soaring past that on Rumble, though it's possible as explained by Rumble promoting his content. It is a bit weird though, considering Steven Crowder had taken a lot of time off, and that's usually really dangerous for a channel's health. One other strange difference between his YouTube channel is that his engagement is significantly lower on Rumble. Looking at a sample of roughly 6 months, the comparison of views to comments and likes or dislikes is wildly different. On YouTube, roughly 1.2% of views translate to comments. That is, a viewer has a 1.2% chance of leaving a comment every time they watch one of his videos. On Rumble, that number is significantly less at 0.2%. There's also a big disparity between likes and dislikes. There's a 7% chance of a viewer on YouTube rating a video versus a 1.2% chance on Rumble.
So this is similar to kind of the research that Matt Binder does, which is really extensive and interesting. And it's basically trying to explain to you that there's a difference between people viewing your videos and commenting on your videos. And then there's a conversion rate, obviously, the people who watch your videos and are actually going to take the time to give it a thumbs up, give it a comment, stuff like that. And how much of that does convert into the traffic, basically.
These numbers aren't just true for Crowder, though. Using a sample of 2 weeks for Ben Shapiro and Tim Pool's channels, I found they had similar issues. It seems that users on Rumble are just not interested in leaving comments or liking or disliking videos. What makes it even stranger is that if Crowder's audience is migrating from YouTube to Rumble, one wonders why this audience suddenly decided they no longer have any interest in leaving comments or rating videos. Maybe people just don't want to make Rumble accounts, and almost everyone has a Google account. All of this is just generally suspicious, and I probably wouldn't even be including it in this video if not for something else I found. Steven Crowder typically releases 4 shows a week, scheduled for 10 a.m. in the morning, Eastern Time. He's usually late to start, sometimes taking 10 minutes or so to begin the stream. This will be an important detail later on. While researching this video, I decided randomly to watch Steven Crowder's live stream of the GOP primary debate. So when I tuned in early to make sure I caught the beginning, I noticed something a bit strange. Before the stream starts, there's this little video that lasts a couple of seconds that plays on a loop. It lets you know that the stream will be starting soon. You can see people in the chat trying to get racial slurs past the filter and a few early ratings going in. This is pretty much how YouTube streams work as well, minus the little video. When I tuned into this primary debate stream, though, what caught me off guard is that in the description box, you'll notice that there is a view count for this stream. And in this footage here I captured, you'll see it currently was sitting at 138,000. I refreshed the page just to double check that the stream hadn't actually started, and you can see there that it's saying that the viewers are still waiting for it to start, and obviously a refresh, and that 138,000 view figure just stayed there, all with 27,000 people waiting for the stream to start. So this raises an important question: where did these views come from, and why are they being counted under this video before the stream even begins? Now, for those who don't know, Rumble works a lot like YouTube in that the views you see under a video aren't updated in real time. It usually takes a few minutes to see each increase. And when you look at that view count, it's really more of a snapshot in time from when there were a certain number of people who have viewed a video. The number is almost always higher when you look at it in the back end. It can be off by thousands or tens of thousands sometimes, particularly for a new video. So we shouldn't understand, for instance, this debate stream as getting 138,000 views early. We should understand it as getting 138,000 views early at least, because there were several minutes after this stat was provided that views were likely still being counted and added to the total. I was curious to see if this was a pattern, so I checked out Steven Crowder's streams throughout the week, and this finding repeated itself every time. Sometimes it was just a few thousand views, other times it was tens of thousands. It's impossible to say how many views are being added here because the numbers would appear about 15 minutes before a stream would begin in some cases, and they often wouldn't get updated until 10 to 15 minutes after the stream started. I decided to run this same test on a stream for Dan Bongino where, like Crowder, he had about 20,000 views counted before his stream began. And again, this one is also probably being undercounted. Whatever is going on in the back end, I'm pretty confident in saying that Crowder's live stream view counts and possibly other streamers on Rumble are being boosted by counting views of people waiting for the stream to start. That was my hypothesis anyway, so I decided to test it out and maybe get a better idea of how overcounted these views really are. I created an account on Rumble, and after getting some followers so I would be allowed to stream, I ran my test. When setting up a stream, Rumble gives you the option of adding your own custom video so your audience has something short to watch while waiting for the stream to start. I didn't have a ton of short videos on hand, so I just grabbed this 8-second one.
It tastes of macam.
I started the stream and left it unlisted and opened a second browser to watch it, so there was only ever one viewer viewing the stream. The preview video autoplayed as soon as I opened the page and looped for the whole hour. While watching, I refreshed a few times, waiting for that view stat to pop up, and eventually it did, but the only number I saw was 13 views. A strange number to get with only one viewer watching a clip that replayed itself for about roughly 450 times over the course of an hour. Of course, like I said earlier, this early stat should be considered a moment in time and not something that reflects a real-time count of views. After the hour was up, I started the stream and immediately ended it. If any other views were counted for the stream after it actually began, it was probably just one view for that stream starting up. I waited for the view count to update in the back end, giving it as much time as possible to make sure all the views were counted for, and the final view count for this video was not 13 views, but 226 views.
Nicely done.
All from one person who tuned in an hour before the stream began. Significantly higher than that first set of.
So, if we were to take the numbers themselves, I guess, and divide them by 226, because if we have a 1 to 226 ratio going on here, it can explain so many different things, by the way. Like, obviously, every single one of these websites is going to set up their own parameters for how they count a view. Certain different websites, I think YouTube, it's like you have to be watching for a minimum of 30 seconds to a minute before it counts who's a view, right? Some other sites want to say, hey, if you simply, X is the worst offender for this. X, if you simply have an impression, aka if you're scrolling through on your timeline, but you scrolled past one of the, like, you know, Tucker Carlson videos they show you, they count that as a view. That's why Elon Musk is always, like, trying to inflate, like, by the way, Tucker Carlson just got a record, you know, 116 million views on his latest video on Obama. This is the highest for any single, and it's like, you're trying to tell me that he actually successfully got the same amount that's, like, you know, comparable to the Super Bowl on something that I'm pretty sure if I was to ask any regular person in their day-to-day, hey, did you know that Tucker Carlson's internet show exposed Obama, they would be like, what did you just say, what does that sentence mean? And I'm like, there was this post of Fox News, I know who Tucker Carlson is, so he interviewed a guy who said that he sucked Obama's dick and tasted his cum, and that video view apparently has almost more viewers than the Super Bowl did on the streaming platform X, formerly known as Twitter, that is now being run into the dirt by Elon Musk. It'd be like, I don't know if that's the same. I don't know if that's the same reach or if that's the same amount of people who saw it.
13 views. This works out to approximately 50% of the preview video loops being counted as views. I repeated that test with a stream that only ran for 30 minutes, and that one ended up with 114 views. Which is roughly half, so the finding seems pretty consistent. I also tried running a stream without the preview video. Turns out one gets automatically generated and autoplays for any viewers, so it looks like any stream that's scheduled for the future.
Could Rumble handle that kind of bandwidth? I don't know.
A little after scheduling this particular test, though, I noticed that automatically generated video was playing, so I paused it and let the stream run for 30 minutes without any video loops, aside from the first few that might have snuck through before I paused the video. The final view count for this stream was 5. I wanted to run another test, and for this one, I would let the default video, which lasts about 15 seconds, play for 30 minutes instead of my 8-second clip. The result for this one was 120 views.
By the way, if you're wondering why is any of this important, it's extremely important to things like advertisers, for example, or anyone who's looking to be like, should we invest in this? Because at the end of the day, this seems to be a very strong reach. The numbers speak for themselves. Look, some people are successfully streaming on Rumble right now to 70,000, 110,000, fucking almost 150,000 live viewers. That's incredible. If in Jose's test, he's revealed that that view count is being shown to show one viewer streams, aka the only person who watched Jose's stream, which makes sense because no one would just randomly start finding his live stream, right? He's the only person watching, and as the only person watching his own stream, he refreshed it a handful of times, and that resulted in a view count of 224 for a single person watching a 30-minute stream that had zero content. It was just a loop of a 12-second video over and over and over and over. That's not honest. That's not honestly telling you if you were someone who wanted to, I don't know, advertise on Jose's channel, you'll have a reach of 224 views. So you'll have 224 impressions. Okay, you can convert that to potentially, 224 potential viewing audience members, individuals, right? Instead of saying that that's just one person watching, though. Like, it sounds on the surface to be great. 224 viewers, 224 different humans watch that show. But it's like that was just one person.
Which was kind of strange because that's more views than the 8-second clip. If we
you wouldn't download here, a car, also
the
true.
15-second video could be played 120 times within 30 minutes. And with that bit of information, everything started coming together in my mind. The discrepancy between using an 8-second video and a 15-second one is only a few views, which suggests to me that what's being counted here is not the number of loops, but how long someone is watching. But how long someone is watching is not entirely disconnected from the fact that these videos are looping. On YouTube, you need to watch a video for 30 seconds for it to count as a view. On Rumble, it appears to be 15 seconds. But on YouTube, at least, once you start watching a video after 30 seconds, no matter how long that video is, it only gets counted as one view unless you happen to close the video and start watching it again at a later time. Since Rumble is looping the video in these pre-stream sections, though, every time the loop repeats, it resets whether or not a view is going to be counted for this video. So every 15 seconds, a video flips over and gets counted as a new view. In fact, that would explain why using an 8-second video would mean the view count is slightly lower, because the counter is being reset every 16 seconds instead of 15. In other words, it's getting reset every other loop. But I wanted
so you can call this like cooking the books, or you can call this disingenuous or dishonest. It's only a lie if they aren't transparent about how they count their views, right? If they in their statement, especially to advertisers, are like, hey, by the way, on Rumble, you can potentially reach audiences. Here are some of our top name streams. Here's Steven Crowder. And here's how many views his videos get. And then it's like, what's your methodology? And if they lie about the methodology, then at that point, yeah, so that is essentially fraud, right? But outside of that, I don't think there is a standardized, reinforced model that has some form of oversight that states that, hey, you cannot do this form of view counts versus that form of view count.
To run one more test, just to be certain, this time I used a preview video that was 1 minute in length. So every time it ran, it would meet that 15-second threshold, but then would go on for another 45 seconds before looping. And I assumed that's when another play would be counted. If my theory held true, that would mean that this video would get roughly 30 views if I let it run for 30 minutes. So that's how long I let it run for. The final total for this experiment? 32 views. I think it's safe to say that Rumble counts a view every 15 seconds and that the counter gets reset every time a loop completes. And isn't it just a darn coincidence that the default length of time for a generated video on Rumble to run is exactly 15 seconds, almost like they plan to inflate their view numbers using these little preview videos. I am making a few assumptions here, for example, that Rumble treats all its channels equally. And when you consider that the average viewer isn't likely to turn up 1 hour or 30 minutes before a stream start, although some certainly do, so it's probably not fair to assume that every early viewer is adding 100 views to each video. Although you should also consider that Steven Crowder usually starts his streams late, so I'm sure he's getting a healthy injection of views into all of his videos. One big caveat I'd like to mention is that my tests probably weren't representative in how some people tune into live streams. When I was running these tests, I would open a browser window and just let it sit there. So I ran a few tests where I simulated more realistic behavior. Instead of just letting the stream sit there, letting the video loop nonstop, I tried opening a new tab, minimizing the window, and just doing stuff to generally not look at the stream. Something a person might do if a stream hasn't actually started yet. Even while doing that, I was still getting plenty of views. These loops are still running even when you have a window minimized. Here are a few examples of tests where I did my best to ignore the window where the stream was running, and I was still getting views when really I should have been getting zero. My favorite is this one right here where I got 9 views. I got this by pasting the stream URL into a fresh new tab, pressing enter, and then immediately going into a new tab and then minimizing the whole window. And when it came time for the stream to actually start, I closed the whole window, waited 15 seconds, and then started the stream. At no point was I looking at this stream or even the preview video. but I still somehow ended up with 9 views. It's impossible to tell how many viewers are doing what I was doing in these tests and completely ignoring the window or stream that they have the little preview video open in. But even if they're doing that, they're still contributing to views. And when you consider that there are viewers there who do just leave it open and mess around in the chat, or maybe go somewhere to get a meal, or maybe they have it open in another monitor, they're contributing even more. And if you doubt that that's happening, the early stats that drop before the streams begin verify that to some degree, some of the viewers are doing this. When Steven Crowder has more than 4,000 people waiting for a stream, some percentage of them are waiting with that tab open in front of them, contributing dozens of views to that counter. One can only guess at how many people are tuning in either on time or early and letting that preview video loop in the background while they wait for the stream to start.
Another thing that it demonstrates is that it's exceptionally inaccurate. And I can only assume you'd only want to have that as a business model if you are intentionally trying to make it appear as if you have much higher inflated numbers than you actually do. Like there's a reason why a lot of companies, especially, you know, tech companies and social media companies, have a methodology that they want to be transparent about in order to sell, again, their potential reach to advertisers, right? And it does look a lot better. It sounds awesome if you're like, hey, by the way, some of our top tier streamers, look at the numbers they get before the stream even starts. You know, the stream hasn't started, it's already got 138,000 views.
But regardless, I think this is strong evidence that Crowder's view numbers, likely along with other people streaming on Rumble, are being inflated. With that in mind, Crowder's Rumble views make a little more sense.
Like, just by me doing, 3 minutes of review of that Russell Brand, Jimmy Dore return, how many views did I just give them? Like 30? 35?
It's not that he's massively more popular there, but rather a bunch of extra views are padding his numbers overall. It would also explain, at least in part, why engagement is lower than on YouTube. There were other things that made me scratch my head a little while I was watching, but none of it that I could really carefully say was evidence of fraud the way I'm pretty sure this early view count is. Also, just as a little extra, I was curious to see how Rumble was doing as a platform financially. Their latest earnings report just came out in August, covering its second quarter of 2023, and it doesn't really paint the rosiest of pictures. While revenue is roughly 5.5 times higher from where it was last year, expenses have gone up by 6.5 times as much. They lost nearly $29.4 million in their...
Okay, there's the figure that I was a little off. It's at 24, but yeah, so $29 million. And by the way, that's not unusual for tech companies. Tech companies, they just like, you know, historically are based so highly on speculation, as well as you, like, we're the product, right? Like, our engagement, our addiction, our never-ending fucking back and forth fighting and all that kind of shit, that is directly what they want. They want us to be fighting each other and fighting each other for the longest periods of possible time and directly reinforcing engagement on their platforms over and over. And that's what will get a lot of, you know, fucking VCs to pour a lot of fucking, you know, money into those kind of companies. But it is also striking when you look at this as a model, for example. It has to have a purpose. You have to be able to justify, especially to investors, why you're losing $29 million on a yearly basis. And that would probably come down to, well, we are also one of the only alternative platforms to YouTube that allows for very prominent conservative voices to be able to say whatever they want without the fear of the TOS coming down on them. They can frame the whole thing as free speech, which is just a complete and utter lie. And it gets a lot of people really, really excited. And, you know, a lot of people get to say that, oh, we care about free speech, that's why we love Rumble and stuff like that, when it's ultimately like, well, Rumble isn't going to enforce in any way, shape, or form a very stringent, say, anti-Holocaust denial platform. They're going to allow that kind of content to be on their platform, while at the same time saying that we don't directly support or endorse their views, but we're going to allow them because we care about the free speech sort of shit, right?
The last quarter, and they've lost 58.1 million in the last 6 months. At some point, they probably need
I was way off. 58.1 million in 6 months? Oof, that's a lot of money.
Figure out how to turn a profit.
It's so expensive to run a hosting site. Like, so many times when people will come in like, Lance, why do you fucking give your money to Bezos? Why do you fucking support all these monopolies when you're supposed to say that you're a leftist and all this kind of stuff? It's like, do you have any idea how much it costs to run a dedicated, isolated streaming site? Like, there's a lot of reasons why people, they will get into it, but you need a fucking, an Alex Jones tier level of backing. You need to have not only fucking huge ass, deep pocketed billionaires who are willing to just randomly send you fucking full-on bitcoins randomly to be like, keep doing what you do, you're spreading the truth, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that money is very necessary to run an independent hosted site where you don't have to worry about big tech coming after you.
But right now, they're still very much in the red. It does make one wonder how much longer this platform can keep losing money before investors lose faith. Originally, this was going to be part of a much...
So, big shout out, and I'll share his link right now, to Jose. If you don't already follow Jose, what's wrong with you? He's got a warm, buttery voice and covers a ton of topics, including a lot of baddies. Go subscribe to Jose. He also was the narrator for our Matrix fundraiser, where we raised over $10,000 to help LGBTQ plus refugees globally. He did an amazing job and had to do, I would say, in terms of using your own voice, more work than anybody. He read almost every single part of the original Matrix script, start to finish. Incredibly talented individual. Go support Jose. He's awesome. And yeah, this is not like definitive. Now you know Rumble has lied to you, because technically they're only lying if they lie about how these numbers work or operate. If they tell you that, hey, by the way, their engagement works in this form, we only register a view if someone watches for 30 seconds or more. We do not count views if someone hits a refresh. We do not count views if someone isn't watching. We do not count views if someone minimizes a window. We do not count views if someone has 25 tabs open and they're watching 25 different streams. We don't do any of that. You only get an organic view of this. And then if that was a complete fabrication, then that is obviously being disingenuous. But I haven't seen evidence of Rumble manipulating and then being proven fact. But I've always wondered why Rumble's numbers are just so incredible. Because like it can be sometimes frightening when like who's the alternative to some of the monster right-wing streamers like Hassan? Right. And Hassan, yeah, he gets 29,000, sometimes 60, sometimes even 100,000 views if it's a big political event. That's comparable for sure. That's like, OK, so there is another big name that, you know, gets a comparable amount of fucking views to these massive people. But it is frightening sometimes to see people who have very small shows. An example is Salty C-Word. Not a lot of people know about him. He's got a monstrously massive YouTube channel. He is a far right fucking asshole baddie. And I've seen him do live streams on Rumble for like 7,000, 20,000 live viewers. And I'm like, God damn, that's nuts. How someone who says such horrifying things, you know, like it's fucking funny when like, you know, lefties get run over on the street and shit like that, gets those kind of views. But now maybe take it with a grain of salt when you see that shit, right? There aren't 400 people watching the stream right now. I know, there's 20.
Do you enjoy the serfs, but prefer not to have to use your eyeballs? Many are saying this. Well, we've got the solution for you. It's the Serf Times in podcast form, available on most major podcasting networks now. If you enjoy it, please consider leaving a good review and feedback, because it really helps the show out, apparently, and it's free, just like the podcast.
Thank you so much for watching, everybody. This show is produced by amazing people like you, and if you want to help us out, please consider donating over at patreon.com/theserfs. The show is made possible thanks to Amazing Fletch, Anna Loves Riley, Ariane McCarthy, Cheryl Alvarez, Doug Cady, Everything Important, Hagbard Celine, La Media Panza, Matthew Scarborough, Multimondi, Omni, Peanut Butter Blondie, Political Papi, Quiet 185, Rachel K, Riley and Anna, Roller Dragon, Ruby K, Sir Nickus, Spinach Monster, Stellar Vision, Sebastian Demo, Tech Tink, Trevbot EXE, Words Greenwood, and not to mention all of the amazing and fabulous people you now see before you.